Okay, today I did a communion lesson a little differently. I was hoping our neighbor girls would come to communion to make it a little, I geared a little more toward kids today. So it'll be good for all of us to be kind of simple. But okay, I need a volunteer. Daniel, why don't you come up here? You can sit on my chair, only temporarily though. Now, most of you that are a wee bit older than Daniel will understand that people at one time would do something to remind themselves of something. What was that? Do you recall? You'd tie a string on your finger. Okay, put your finger up just like this. They would tie a string on their finger so that they would remember to pick up the milk on the way home from work, or remember their wife's birthday, or anniversary, you know, anything like that. So they'd tie a string around. Now, I don't know that I've ever done that, because part of my problem would be that I wouldn't remember why I put the string on my finger. So that's why I would take a note. But hold your finger up like that. It's already turning red, so apparently it's a little tight. I'll untie it in a sec here. But that's what they would do. They would tie a string around their finger to remember something. Okay? I better untie it before you have to carry your finger home in your pocket. Okay, thanks. Well, Jesus did that for us a little differently. He didn't tie a string around our finger. But he gave us something to remember things by. Okay, and that's called communion. So does everybody have their notes? Everybody have their notes? It has a little smiley face on the bottom. And guess what the smiley face has? He has a string on his finger, right? You see that? You see that? It's kind of small, but... Come on, come up and get one, Jojo. We tried to make sure everybody had them, but the donuts were a superior force. Okay? Yes. They were delicious. Thank you, Longs, for that. For that exercise in gluttony. So anyway, I'm going to read three verses, three passages. These are on your notes, okay? And if you don't mind, I'm going to sit down a little bit because that helps me with my legs for standing all morning long. It's amazing how tired I get. So maybe because I have such a big whiteboard I'm carrying, as I was told a little earlier. Okay. And the title of the message is Communion Means That, okay? The first one is found in Luke 22, verses 19 and 20. The communion account is found in every gospel in some way, shape, or form, also in 1 Corinthians, okay? Luke 22, and this is just a piece of it here, and he, talking about Jesus, took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, the apostles, okay, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you, do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." Okay? So tell me a little bit about the first communion. What was it? Just by what Jesus just said. Did you get it? It was a supper. Did you catch that? They had a meal. So some churches will have it. They'll have a, they call it a love feast oftentimes, but they'll have a whole meal, not just crackers and juice or whatever. And that's not inappropriate to do that. This was actually part of the Passover meal. Okay? It was the evening in which Jesus was betrayed, and that was the Passover. The Passover is when they would sacrifice a lamb to commemorate when the Passover took place as the last plague in Egypt. Okay, when they painted the blood over the doorposts and then the sideposts, so the angel of death would pass over them. Okay? So it was at the end of the meal when they had the cup. They broke the bread during the meal, had the cup. They actually had the cup twice, different reasons. But Now let me read 1 Corinthians 11. This is often the passage that we read. We're only reading part of this as well. It has a whole context by itself. We won't get into that all today. Verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 11 says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" So that's 1 Corinthians 11. Now, a lot of people don't realize that 1 Corinthians is an entire book. They just look at 1 Corinthians 11. But the Bible has a lot to say about fellowship in 1 Corinthians, and even about the bread and the cup. In the previous chapter, 1 Corinthians 10, I'm pulling just one verse out of a whole context that's there. But listen to what Paul writes in the chapter before 1 Corinthians 11. It says, "For we, though many, are one bread, one body, for we all partake of that one bread." So he's still talking about what we call communion. Okay? All right, so we got, let's see here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 blanks. It won't take us long to fill these in. They're pretty easy words, too. The first question we're going to answer is, why did Jesus tell us to do communion? So I'm just going to put the word "why" up here. And it makes me feel happy that Georgia likes me better when I'm writing on the whiteboard. Okay. And the reason is to remind us. So the word is remind. Remind us of very important things. Okay. To remind. That's where it says, I put boxes around three times it says it, to do this in remembrance. That to remind you of me. That's kind of what the word remembers means. It's kind of like remember or memory. But remembrance. And also proclaim is the idea too. We're proclaiming something. We're reminding us of something. So why did Jesus tell us to do communion? To remind us of some very important things. Okay? So far so good? Everybody got that down? You got notes? Okay. Just making sure. Can't sing without notes. Okay? Now, the next part is where we're going to spend more time. How? How did he tell us to do communion so that we would be reminded of these very important things? Okay? The first way he did that was Jesus used bread. Jesus used bread as a picture to remind us. Okay? By the way, if I tied this string on Daniel's finger again, come here, Daniel. I just got to emphasize this, because some people get it wrong. If I tell you, you can just stand up, hold your finger way up high. If I tied this on his finger and said, "Daniel, when you get home, this is to remind you to make sure and make your bed, because Grandma and Grandma are at the house." Okay. All right. That's a picture. That's a reminder. Is that the bed?
No.
No. That's just a reminder of the bed, right? To make his bed, right? Did you make your bed this morning? Okay. It was a lucky guess. Okay? Lucky guess. Okay? It's a picture. When Jesus gives us pictures, the picture isn't what he's reminding us of. It's just to remind us of that. Daniel's not carrying a bed around on his finger. You know, if he could just make it while he's here, right? Okay? The string is not his bed. Whatever Jesus used the bread for, the bread is not what he's reminding us of. It's only a picture to remind us of that. You can even wear that to your chair. How's that? So what you can, if you want to, is draw a box around the word picture, because that's very important. When Jesus gives us these things, it's to remind us of what he's telling us. It's not what it is. It's not the same thing. So the string reminds Daniel of his bed and that he needs to make his bed. It isn't his bed. The same way, when Jesus says, this bread is something, it's just to remind us of that. It's not the same thing, okay? So Jesus used bread as a picture to remind us, number one, you'll hopefully be able to read this, but it's good to write the whole thing out. He gave his body, I'll put it in all big letters, he gave his body to die for us so we could be saved. Okay, what does the bread picture? His body, okay? And I'm going to draw a picture. This isn't really the way the bread looks, but this is the way we think about bread, right? We're going to draw a little loaf of bread here, and if some of you don't think it looks like a loaf of bread, use your imagination, okay? Okay, the bread, that looks like a horse maybe, I don't know. But the bread, Jesus said, this bread is my body, which is given for you. It says in Luke 22, it says, this is my body, which is for you. The bread isn't really his body. It's a reminder of his body. And a lot of people say, no, it's really his body. No, no, no. His body was holding the bread. Okay? It's not the same thing. So the string is in Daniel's bed. The bread is in Jesus' body. It's to remind us. It's a remembrance. To remind us of his body that was given so that we could be saved. Okay? To die for us so we could be saved. And that's what it says there. He said, take it, this is my body which is broken for you. It's really not his body. It's to remind him, just like the string is, of his body. All right? Next. Number two. Jesus used bread as a picture to remind us that when we are saved, we are part of his one body. So the word is one. Okay? Now some of you remember this illustration. But that's why we do communion the way we do here. Is, let's try a different color. Hopefully it's dark enough here. Let's draw a picture. It's going to look like the gingerbread man, but let's pretend it's Jesus' body, okay? So far, so good. Does that look more like a body than my bread looks like bread? Okay. All right. We need security back in the back row there with Georgia here. Just kidding. Okay. This is Jesus' body. The Bible says that when we are saved, according to, and you don't have to write this down, but it's a very important verse, so if you want to, you can. 1 Corinthians 12:13, we're all, when we're saved, we are all baptized into one body. By the way, that's one chapter after 1 Corinthians 11. It all goes together. So 1 Corinthians 11 talks about the body quite a bit, and people misunderstand because they don't read the chapters before and after. But when we're saved, the Holy Spirit makes us part of Jesus' body. Okay? So when we're saved, we're part of Jesus' body. That's what the Bible says. We're all baptized into one body. Baptized means to immerse or place into, okay? So as people get saved, they become part of Jesus' body. They become part of Jesus, and they also then become part of what? One another. They become connected. Why? Because we're all part of the same what? Body. Okay? All right? So that when we are saved, we are part of His one body. One of the things that a lot of times people don't emphasize in communion is the oneness. We are part of one body, and that's a missing part because that's an important part of what Jesus is trying to say. Even in Paul in 1 Corinthians says, you're not observing the Lord's table because you're all being separate. You're acting like you're not connected when you are connected. You're not thinking about the other person. You're only thinking about yourself. Okay? All right. So we start with a full piece of bread so that you can see that it's one piece. That's what Jesus did. He took a piece and then He broke it apart. And then Paul picks up on it and says, hey, we're, just like it says in that 1 Corinthians 10:17 in your notes of that last verse, it says, for we though many are one bread and one body. You can circle those if you want in your notes. One bread, one body. That's the picture that's part of that one loaf, if you will. Wrong color. Okay, the third one, that since Jesus used bread as a picture to remind us that since we, probably should hold it up while I'm doing this here, that since we are part of His body, we should live like Him. Does that make sense? Since we're part of Jesus' body now, we're supposed to be Jesus in the way we act. That's why Paul comes back in 1 Corinthians 11 and says, hey, people come and they don't have anything to eat. And then you're over here and you're stuffed to the point that you got food pouring out your ears or your eyeballs. He didn't really say that, but he kind of said some of you are hungry and others are drunk. He says, how can this be? You're not discerning the Lord's what? Body. You're not understanding what the Lord's body is all about because we're together. We're not separate. We're all together. Okay? So the bread, Jesus talks about one bread. We're all part of that same loaf. We're not little separate loaves. We're not little separate pieces. We're part of one bread, and we're part of really one body. And so therefore, we're responsible to be Jesus to each other, to live like Jesus would. And guess what? Jesus died for us. So we're to be Jesus in that same way, to care for one another, even to the point of dying. Do you think the Bible teaches that? First, everyone knows John 3:16, right? How about 1 John 3:16? By this, we know love, that Christ died for our sins, and we also are obligated. It says we ought, the word is obligated, dead, indebted, to die for one another. That's what the Bible says. We have a debt because we're part of Jesus now to die for one another, even at that point. And then 1 John goes on to say, okay, so now that you understand that you owe dying to other people, you owe yourself to die to other people, if they have need and you have extra, you share. Because that's not a big deal. Okay? So the bread is a picture that reminds us that Jesus gave His body to die for us so that we can be saved. The bread stands for Jesus giving His body for us. That when we are saved, we are part of that one body. And that we should live, because we're part of that one body, we should live like Him. Okay? So the bread reminded us a lot. When I was growing up, we talked about, number one, that Jesus gave his body to die for us. That's true. That's one of the things God wants us to remember, but that is not all that he wants us to remember. There's more to it than that. There's putting Jesus to practice that God wants us to do. Okay? So Jesus used the bread to remind us of his body that he gave for us and that we are part of. Jesus used, this is the second part now, Jesus used, I'm going to say juice instead of it going into all the details, but Jesus used juice as a picture. You want to put a box around the picture to remind us, okay? Now, in my great artistic ability, once again, I will impress you. This is a communion cup. Jesus didn't have communion cups, but you get the idea, okay? Juice. All right? Jesus used juice as a picture to remind us of, that, number one, I have to make sure I get what you have, that he paid a very high, what? Price. For us. Okay, he paid a very high price. It says there, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Or you could say by my blood. It came because through my blood, okay? The second one is that he purchased, oops, I'll make that capital here. Purchased many good things. And I call them, the bigger word we talked about this morning earlier was benefits for us. The Bible talks about the new covenant that Jesus obtained because he died for us. In one sense, his body paid for our sins. Okay? It paid the negative part, if you will. This is what he got positive. It's the new covenant. It's the blessings we get because of his death. All right? The new covenant. This is all of the privileges and benefits that we have. These are the good things that Jesus got for us. That's what the cup reminds us of. Okay? A lot of people say, well, the cup is his blood. No, the cup is to remind us of what his blood purchased. Okay? Get that right. Get that right. This cup is the new covenant that comes by my blood. That's what he said. That's what he didn't say, this is my blood. The cup pictures what his blood bought, but the cup is not his blood. Remember that. Okay? It's just a reminder of what his blood bought. So just the same way that the bread is a picture of his body, that he died for us and that we are part of that body now, and then we are to live that way. The cup is a picture of what his blood bought. Okay? It's not his blood. People get confused with that. Some of the other religions, some of the other churches say that, you know, this is his blood. Jesus never said that. He said, this is the new covenant in my blood or by my blood. Okay? This is what I obtain for you when I die for you. I will pay for all the benefits. You become a child of God. You get to come directly to God through Jesus. You don't have to go through a priest, a pastor, or whatever. You get the Holy Spirit that comes and dwells within you. You get to live forever with righteousness. You get to be with God forever. You get rewards, all of these things. All of this becomes yours because of what Jesus has done on the cross. Okay? So one takes care, if you will, that Jesus' death and resurrection takes care of the sin penalty. We get his righteousness attributed to us so that we're good in God's eyes. And then Jesus now gives us the new covenant that we get all of the blessings that come from that as well. So it isn't just dying for our sins, it's also everything He provides in a positive benefit way as well. The last thing here, it's getting hard to read, isn't it? Jesus used, I don't know, this is kind of tricky, but both. He used both the bread and the cup. Both of these to remind us, number one, of His death. I'll put that in capital letters for you. Of His death, and of course the and resurrection. I have that in parentheses too. Because His death means nothing without His resurrection. And then of His, anyone want to guess this one? His return. Okay, there's so much in the communion that we need to be reminded of, and Jesus made sure it's in there. But we just sometimes miss it because we focus on too few things. Okay? Of His death and of His return. Notice here it says this. In the 1 Corinthians 11, it says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death," right here, "till He comes." Right? There's so much more that you can say, but what happens in His coming? The Bible says we'll go before the judgment seat of Christ. The believers will. The bema seat or the reward seat of Christ. We'll get our works evaluated. There's so much in here it's to remind us of what is true. Okay? Because when He returns, 1 John 2:28 says, "And now, little children, abide in Him so that when He appears, we will have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." Okay? That's what the Bible says. We can be ashamed or we can have confidence, and it has to do with how we live for Him. And guess what? Jesus was so kind that He gave us a way to remind us that He's coming back. We're to do this until He returns. And the idea is we're looking forward to Him coming back as part of that communion. So, kids, help me out here. The bread is a picture of what? Jesus. Wow, you're really loud. Louder. Body. The bread is a picture of Jesus' body. Is the bread Jesus' body? No. The bread is a picture, a reminder, just like the string is on Daniel's finger, to remind us of His body. And what about the cup? The cup reminds us of His, the blood that bought us, what His blood bought us, right? It's not His blood itself, but what He bought through His blood, right? So that Jesus paid a high price, and it reminds us of the new covenant, what He purchased, many good things through His blood, okay? Questions? I'm going to go wash my hands. Just because I feel like it. No, because I have a loaf of bread here that my wife baked last night that we're going to use, okay? So hang on just a sec. Jesus' body. Who's part of Jesus' body? We are. When we're saved, we're part of Jesus' body. So then we're supposed to live just like Jesus. And that means caring for each other, right? Just as Jesus died for us, we're supposed to care for other people. Even if it means dying for Him, okay? Bring that up here, please. This is a little flimsy today. But I'm going to break part of it off. We have some crackers in here if you want crackers. But if you're okay with it, I'd encourage you to take a piece of the bread as it's passed around, okay? Why do we start out with the whole loaf of bread? So you can know that we're part of one body, one bread. Right? We're not separate. We're part of one team, if you will. Okay? So you can just grab on and pull a piece off as it comes around. If you prefer, there's some crackers underneath too. We always do that for. This is a recipe for unleavened bread that uses matzah and whatever, I can't remember. Does it get around to everyone? Getting there, I guess, still. All right. Pastor Jim, would you lead us in prayer thanking the Lord for Jesus' body, please?
Father, I come before you in appreciation for your love for us. That you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world to save us. Yet, Father, in that love, you also made a way that we might be able to come to you, that we can be one body. Father, you would bless this bun, this bread, that we might remember that we're part of that body, part of you in Him. Thank you for your Son again. Thank you for this time together around your table in Jesus' name.
Okay, let's eat this bread. Okay, what's the cup stand for? What Jesus bought by His blood, right? Let's say that. The cup stands for what Jesus bought by His blood. Okay, it doesn't stand for His blood. It stands for what Jesus bought by His blood, okay? So let's have the deacons pass these around, and then we'll pray over that too. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, not only that Jesus came to be our sacrifice for our sins, to die on the cross and pay for our sins and rise again, but also, Lord, that you not only let that happen, but you let Jesus give us the new covenant by paying for it in his, by His blood, so that we can be your family, so that we can talk to you, so that we can have the Holy Spirit, so we can have a church family, so we can have so many things. And we pray, Lord, that you would just help us to grow and learn and become what you would have us because of the new covenant that comes through Jesus' blood. We thank you again. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's drink our juice. All right. We're going to sing the last two verses of The Old Rugged Cross. A covenant is the same thing as a testament. Like in, as in the last will and testament. That's why you have an Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Covenant, the New Covenant can be called that. But it's just like a will we would use today more. How does a will take place? A will takes place when a person dies. Okay, that's when it's executed. That's the same way with the covenant. A covenant was only enforced once in the Old Testament. Something had to die to make that take place. Jesus was that person that died to validate or execute that covenant. So will, testament, covenant are the same words. Okay. I don't like the word contract, except it's a one-way contract then. Mm-hmm. So it's not based upon us, it's based upon God alone. So there's we should say that sometime. But God did a covenant with Abraham. He had him kill different animals, and then God did not allow Abraham to participate in the process because it was a one-sided covenant. Yeah, so one-sided contract. We could be that too. But it's validated or made in effect by a person's death. And Jesus was that validator. So, 327, you probably don't have hymn books because I told Daniel not to pass them around. But verse 3 says this, "In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me." That's really both of the pardon and sanctify me, those two parts, okay? So let's sing that verse. "In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown." The last verse goes like this. "To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share." Okay? "To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to that home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown." All right. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for how much you teach us. Lord, help us to remember. It's hard to remember, and I think that's partly why you gave us communion even. But thank you for communion so that we can be prompted to remember again and again what Jesus has done for us. Help us to live for Him, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.